okay, this particular module is going to be about the particular topics and subtopics that you can consider when you're putting together your assembly programs. Like I said, expect to do, if you want to work the market consistently and full time, expect to do a lot of educational programs. And just, by the way, the reason why I like educational programs so much is that it gives, in terms of magic, a reason for it being. I equate, and I've done a lot of just for fun shows, but these days I really struggle with them. I equate just for fun shows as kind of like if you were to watch a sizzle reel of nothing but special effects on TV. You know, you really, you know, for a show to really captivate you or a movie to really captivate you, you really need to have a good story and characters you care about and everything. And that's what a good assembly program will do too. It gives the whole thing a reason for being. So that being said, I'm gonna dive into some of the topics, and I'm gonna cover some of the subtopics as well. So the topics that I found most popular in schools, in no particular order, are anti-drug shows, character education shows, anti-bullying or bullying prevention shows, science shows, reading appreciation shows, math shows, SEL, which is social emotional learning shows. That's relatively new. Halloween, Christmas, family fun nights, evening fundraisers, and field days, which is what a lot of schools call their end of the day celebration, where they've got carnivals and such. So we've got 7 educational topics, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 possibilities for non-educational topics or non-educational opportunities to get booked. So there's a lot of opportunities in the school, and there's other topics too that I no longer use. I used to have a history show that I licensed from somebody else. I used to have a recycling show. I used to have 3 different reading shows, and I eventually decided to scale back and just offer one, because again, I'm on my way out as far as being a full-time performer goes. So, character education. Let me dive into some of the subtopics. Character education is my current favorite one, and it's probably going to be the one that I'm going to license out for anybody who wants it, because this my character education show is really good. I mean, it's really good. Anyway, some of the subtopics might be teaching kids about perseverance, self-respect, treating each other with kindness and respect, diversity. That's a really big one, too. And also, the it's still taught in many schools, and I still teach it. The 6 pillars of character education, which is respect, caring, trustworthiness, responsibility, citizenship, fairness. I think that's all 6. For bullying, what you want to cover in bullying in terms of subtopics are going to be the different forms of bullying, verbal bullying, physical bullying, which is what everybody expects when they think about bullying, cyberbullying, picking on each other on the internet, obviously, bullying by exclusion, bullying like on the bus, bullying by spreading rumors. So those are the topics you want to cover in bullying. You also want to cover ways to prevent bullying, and a really easy one is to say, you know, talk to a trusted adult. Some schools will encourage people to get involved. They'll want the kids to be told that if you see a kid being bullied, get help for that kid or stand up to the bully. Other schools are very, I don't want to say passive, but I want to say more gentle. They don't want to take any chance of any kind of physical altercation. So they'll say, you know, just get help from a trusted adult. You know, don't interfere. Just run away from the bully, that what have you. Some of the other subtopics might be using humor, walking away from the person, and aspects of self-respect. Those are just some real quick subtopics you might want to cover in your bullying presentation. Reading. Reading is one of my earliest presentations, and I still do a ton of reading shows. I love reading shows. It's a very basic show. It's like there are 2 basic paths you can take with reading. Currently, I combine the two. You can take a path of why reading matters in life, you know, how reading can help you have a good career, aspects of education, good exercise for the brain. Those are all good subtopics for reading. The other bent that many people take is about highlighting specific books. I used to have a Dr. Seuss show, And I would cover specific topics in the in my Dr. Seuss show, or specific books in my Dr. Seuss show. And what's nice about a Dr. Seuss show is that not only do you have the specific you know, books you can talk about, you can talk about Horton Hears a Who, you can talk about The Cat in the Hat, but many of the books also have moral lessons to it. So I would advertise a show as doubling for a character ed show, which is kind of nice too. Other people, and myself included, will talk about the Harry Potter books. And so we'll have magic tricks, which just not only reinforce those educational things I just covered, but in terms of a reading show, that they can reinforce, you know, specific plot points or characters about the book. And this, the idea is that this serves to get kids excited about those individual books, and they're more likely to go to the library and check out those books. And I did that too. I had three different reading shows. Again, my first reading show called I Love to Read, and it's all about why reading is great. I didn't talk about specific books, but I talked about the benefits of reading. Again, I'll go over those again, about exercising your brain, education, reading to you know, for career advancement, you know, whatever job you might want to have, there's going to be aspects of reading to it, any decent job. You know, that kind of thing. And then my second reading show was my Dr. Seuss show, and I primarily just highlighted different books from Dr. Seuss, and it was a celebration of Dr. Seuss. My third reading show was called The Great Reading Adventure, and that was, I took, I basically framed it like the Dr. Seuss show, but it wasn't Dr. Seuss books. It was, I did Harold and the Purple Crayon, Harry Potter, I did a science book, I can't remember what the name of it was. Oh boy, what else did I do? I did one, I can't remember the title of it, but I did one about Betsy Ross, so I could talk about biographies, George Washington Carver, you know, so I could talk about biographies again, that kind of stuff. And I would talk about the difference between fiction and nonfiction to keep some education going. So and then with science, you can do a lot of different science experiments. And I've got a science show that I license, but I also developed my own secondary science show for the virtual, when virtual shows were going on. And I also have that option of going into a school with a second science show now. Now, in terms of science, the idea, again, is getting the kids involved, getting the kids in. And I recommend, what I recommend, I know people who disagree with me on this, they'll have what's called, they'll have a magic show, and they'll use magic tricks to illustrate scientific principles. And to me, I think that confuses the kids. If you talk to the kids about gravity, and then you make something float in the air, well, you're violating the rules of gravity, and I think it confuses the kids. So my science show has no magic in it at all. It's just a science show. And you can, there's a litany of different programs, that you, different experiments you can have during your science show. You know, keep them fun, keep them easily understandable. Look at the curriculum of, do some research. Look at the curriculum, the science curriculum of primary schools, you know, grades K through 2, and intermediate schools, grades 3 through 5. You see what they're teaching, and find experiments. You can go to YouTube and find all kinds of cool experiments and talk about those. But the main thing you want to highlight in your science show are a couple of things. Number one, how science is all around us. Number two, the aspects of science safety. You know, make sure you have a safety message in there. And number three, highlight the scientific principle, the scientific method, which is you're asking a question, you're coming up with a hypothesis or guessing, you're doing an experiment, you're observing your results, and you're finally getting your answer. And that's just a real quick nutshell about the scientific principle and science. SEL, or social emotional learning. I've not had many. I'm in the Northeast here in the United States. I live in New York. I travel primarily these days to New York, Pennsylvania. I'm in Pennsylvania today as I'm recording this. Connecticut. I used to go to New Jersey a lot. You know, here in the Northeast. In the Northeast, I've not encountered very many schools talking about SEL yet, but in the West, it's becoming much more popular. And again, if you're purchased this program and you've got other, you're in other countries, do some research. But I'm telling you, here in the United States, we have we're having a growing interest in SEL, which is social emotional learning. And the idea with that is about monitoring your emotions, being aware of your emotions, you know, aspects of self-control, self-discipline, being aware of how what you say and how you act can affect those around you. And again, it's a much deeper topic, and I've done some copywriting for it. So if you want to know more about SEL, just contact me, and I can help you out with some more bullet points. We can work together on a consultation basis. Okay, so those are the educational topics. Oh, math. Let me cover math and recycling. I almost skipped over recycling because I no longer offer it. Math is, I approach my math show with the same idea as the same idea as my science show, which is just, you know, do cool things with math. And my math show is a combination of contests, games, math demonstrations, and some magic. Whereas my science show is just about science, but my math show is all about you know, having fun with math. And because math can be a little bit drier, I've got bigger props for my math show, and it's more of a variety show. And again, I've got magic in my math show. I've got, you know, some simple contests. I've got some games. You know, it really is like a variety show. It's really cool. And with math, the overarching narrative you want to have about it is how math is necessary in everyday life. A lot of kids grow up in school like, oh, why do I have to learn all this stuff? I'm never going to use it again. And so if you can show with your presentations how math is applicable to their everyday life, especially with things that interest them, like if you can incorporate math in some kind of a sports slash magic demonstration, that'll go a long way. You know, that kind of stuff. So that's really a little bit about math. And I've got a good math show too. If you need help with math, developing a math presentation, just contact me. Recycling. It's all about the three R's: reduce, reuse, and recycle. When I had my recycling program, the biggest thing I tried to avoid more than anything else was avoiding statistics, because kids don't care about numbers. They want to know, and I'll tell you exactly how I researched my recycling show. I watched, my wife and I, we still watch a lot of Disney. And at the time, 2023, the big thing, one of the big streaming channels is Disney Plus, which we have it, it's great, we love it. But back in the day when I was doing recycling, when I was developing a recycling show, and again, this is like 15 years ago or maybe even more, there was the Disney Channel, which is a cable show, or a cable channel. And in between shows, like if they had like a movie that ran like an hour and 35 minutes, well, they didn't want to start something on you know, because it was a cable channel, it wasn't streaming. If they had like a Benji movie or a Mickey Mouse movie, and the movie went an hour and 40 minutes, they didn't want to start their next movie. If the movie started at 1 o'clock, they didn't want to start their next movie at 2:40. So they would find like these little interstitials, like cartoons and things like that, to kill some time until like 3 o'clock, when the next hour-long show or two-hour movie would hit, or whatever the case may be, because they didn't have commercials. So they would have, when I was watching it, they had like these little interstitials, like they have like little two-minute things about recycling, where they'd had, you know, did you know that, you know, even when your toaster oven is not turned on, it's still draining power, and your television is still drawing power because it's plugged in and you got the clock on it, and so the clock is still drawing power, and that power is, you know, causing air pollution because the factories are still producing electricity, and so it's all about air pollution. So things like that, or, you know, turning off the faucet when you're brushing your teeth, all these little things. And I gathered up all these little things, and that's how I built my recycling show. But of course, the entire thing was built around the main tenets of reduce, reuse, and recycling. And then I just, when I saw the little Disney Channel thing talking about, reducing water while you were brushing your teeth, like, okay, I'd come up with a water trick, you know, do airborne or do the hydrostatic glass or whatever the case may be. It was actually a really easy show to build. So that's a little bit about recycling. Now let's cover briefly some aspects about the non-educational shows. First, Halloween. It can just be a just for fun show. Again, you can have slightly scarier tricks for the older kids and goofy, silly tricks for the little kids. And I'll talk more about this in show construction later on, but honestly, my opinion is if you pull out a change bag or silks in front of a fifth grader, they're going to roll their eyes and not be as engaged. That's why I'm a big advocate about having separate shows. So Halloween is, you know, pretty easy. There's a lot of really great marketed Halloween tricks out there. Wonder Imagery, Tim Sonnefeld's website, has got a lot of great Halloween tricks. Jim Sonnefeld has a ton of Halloween tricks. Tommy James has an entire Halloween show, which I have it as the DVD. It's really a lot of fun. I really enjoy that. So now let's talk about Christmas. Christmas, again, what you want to avoid is, a lot of assembly presenters say, well, you know what, I don't do Christmas because nobody wants it. Pish posh. I have been shocked at how many Christmas shows I've been able to book in the last few years, even though people supposedly do not enjoy Christmas shows because, they're worried about, offending people, about having different religions and, you know, all kinds of things. And the truth of the matter is people will still book Christmas shows. I don't know about every part of the country, But I've had requests for Christmas shows out west, here in the Northeast, down south. Schools will still book Christmas shows. The key to it is avoiding the religion. Focus on Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus, characters of that ilk. You know, avoid the religion. Christmas trees and Christmas lights. Keep it just about, and this is sad to say, but keep it about the most superficial aspects of the holidays. I'm the furthest thing away from religion, from religious, but I do know that Rudolph, Santa Claus, and Frosty the Snowman are about as far away from the intent behind Christmas as you could pretty much possibly get. But if you're doing a show in public schools or charter schools, that's what they want. So you want to reinforce to them that you're not going to be doing shows with a religious content. And again, as far as tricks, if you want to build a show very easily, again, I'll refer to those same sources. Go to Tommy James, go to Jim Caulfield's site, go to Wonder Imagery, and you'll see a slew of different Christmas shows, Christmas show material and tricks that you can buy. A lot of really great stuff out there. Now, the non-educational, non-theme shows. Field days, as I talked about, that is what a lot of schools call their end of the year celebration. Like they will have carnivals going on. They'll have bounce houses. They'll have ice cream, games, all kinds of things. And they may have at the end of the day, may have everybody gather up for like a fun magic show, and you just go in there and do it just for fun show, and have a great time, and everybody's great. Or in the same situation, they still may want education. I mean, I just did, as I'm recording this in June 2023, and just a couple of days ago, I did a, it was a fun day, and they had me do my science show, which I was, I've done probably about a dozen field days where they want science, which I'm always surprised about, because, my science show is about as educational as it gets, but they want it. They may also want a character education show for field days. Sometimes field days, they just want it just for fun show, and that's where you just bust out your fun stuff. Now, for some field days, they're going to want one show for the entire school. Sometimes they're going to want you to do one show for K through 2, one show for 3 through 5, or they may want you to do shows all day for every grade level. One for kindergarten, one for first grade, second, third, fourth, fifth, even sixth. So then you're working all day. Now, you can't charge them, like if you're charging $800 for a K through 2 show and a 3 through 5 show. If they want you to do like six shows, I don't believe you can necessarily quadruple your rates and go with a $2,000 price tag. They do expect a discount because you're already there, you're already set up, and we'll talk about pricing strategies later. And I have a lot of opinions on it, and you may agree, you may disagree. That's fine. I'm just giving you what I've done. So, and then you've got the nighttime fundraisers, and that's when you can bust out some of your bigger tricks, because they want a draw. Now, the key thing about a fundraiser show is entertaining the adults and the kids, so I try to stay away from, like, change bags and silly magic wands and kind of walk that line where I'm doing really cool tricks that adults will like. Like Bill and Lemon with a fun presentation, but I'm still doing things like floating a kid in the air, which is very kid-friendly, and it's amazing for the adults, too. What I found, because when somebody contacts you for a daytime assembly program, they'll ask you general questions about, what do you cover, what are your prices, that kind of stuff. They really don't ask about individual tricks. For a fundraiser show or an evening thing, when they're looking more strictly for just entertainment, that's when you want to have something called a few marquee effects, which is a term my friend Rodney and I coined. A marquee effect, as we define, is a trick that you can explain in a couple of words, and it instantly paints a picture in the person's mind. If you say, "I float a kid in the air," I mean, bam, that paints a picture in the person's mind. Like, oh, that's great. Or if you do snowstorm, "I caused it to snow," instantly paints a picture in people's minds. Now, back when I was doing a lot of birthday parties, I would have, I still have my floating table. I have a Lysander floating table. And that doesn't sound as sexy in the phone. I float a table. They just kind of like look at you. Now, when they see it, it's a great trick. To me, the floating table is way better than the chair suspension, which I've never liked the chair suspension, but for some reason people lose their freaking minds over it. So that's my magician thinking, I guess. So that's really important too. Consider when you're doing an evening show or just for fun show, have one or two tricks that when you say a couple of words, it instantly paints a picture in somebody's mind. Like, oh, I caused a live bunny to appear. That's an easy one. Or I caused live birds to appear. I used to do a three-bird, you know, dove act. You know, things like that. You know, things that, you know, if you say something like, oh, I cut and restore a piece of rope, I mean, that's... I love rope tricks, don't get me wrong. I've got like four rope routines that I do, but it's not the sexiest thing you can tell your client on the phone. So have, you know, some marquee tricks you can talk about. So let me see here. Then we've got, I talked about fundraisers. I talked about, PTO family nights. It's kind of like the same thing where it's an evening performance where they've got different things going on where the PTO, they just want to have, you know, people come in. Maybe it's a bake sale and they're trying to generate more funds and you're part of the draw. Maybe they just want to give back to the community and get people more involved in the school. So it's similar to a nighttime fundraiser, but it's not a, it's not like a ticket sale or things like that, and you're not the main thing. Whereas a fundraiser, you're typically the main thing. And I approach those nighttime fundraisers and PTO fun nights very similarly. And it may have some overlap too. Like they may have like an evening event where they're celebrating Halloween. You might do an evening Halloween show, and that's fun too. So I think that's everything. I think those are the, as far as my experience working in the school market, those are the topics that I work the most often. I have, I've got a killer character education show, bully show, science show, anti-drug show, reading show, math show, SEL show, Halloween, Christmas, recycling, family fun night, fundraisers, and field days. Yes, I covered everything. Now, when you look at the written material, if this is your first time with my school assembly material, because I know some people are going to be buying this audio material separately, but if it's your first time with my school assembly material, included with this package are the scripts and breakdowns of three complete shows, character education, bully, and anti-drug show. And I just spent a lot of time talking about anti-drug show on this audio recording. I'm going to let the written material stand for itself. I don't do an anti-drug show anymore. Again, when the pandemic hit, I started selling props because I thought my career was over. So I no longer offer an anti-drug show. I just don't enjoy it as much. But when I still had it on my website, I still got requests for anti-drug shows. A lot of magicians, a lot of assembly presenters believe the anti-drug shows are kind of like gone. But no, I mean, right up until the pandemic, I was still receiving requests. And even after the pandemic, yeah, because now the memory is coming back to me. I did a handful of anti-drug virtual shows, school assemblies. So they are still being booked. So don't let... non-school assembly performers tell you that anti-drug shows don't book. They still do. I don't know how much because I don't offer them anymore, but it is still a viable thing. So that is when you look at the written materials, you're going to get a complete anti-bullying show. You're going to get a complete character education show and a complete anti-drug show. So between this audio talking about the topics and subtopics and the written material, you've got enough to get started. And of course, if you want more help with developing any of these shows, just contact me and we can work on things with a consulting basis. So thank you so much for listening. We'll move on now to the next topic.